This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome. It is 7:06. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's also Trash Talking Tuesday. Thanks, Florence Recycling. And we've got a lot. We've got a lot to talk about. One of your top stories is President Trump pauses military aid to Ukraine. Will Zelensky maybe have a different kind of attitude should the two meet again? Highly possible. Also, we were talking about in just the last segment about tariffs, and already, of course, the fear mongers and all that. It's gonna raise the price of a car so much. Okay, if you're going to do that, are you going to tell the flip side, the upside of tariffs? Let me give you a couple of examples. Let's start with the car thing.
Okay.
So Honda was about to build a car plant in Mexico. Guanajuato. They were going to Guanajuato, but now they're not.
Okay.
Now they're going to Indiana.
That sounds totally different.
It sounds very, very good. Yes, as Canada and Mexico brace for 25% tariffs today and China for another 10, Honda became one of the first companies to cave, scrapping plans to produce its new Civic in Mexico in favor of Indiana.
Nice.
Yep. And they will start in November of 27, according to sources familiar and Reuters. Now Honda plans to manufacture the new Civic in Indiana. That'll actually start May of 28, churning out about 210,000 vehicles a year.
Very nice.
They're going to provide some jobs? Yes. Will it avoid the tariffs? Yes. Are they building it here because of the threat of tariffs? Yes. And that's how tariffs can be used effectively. But let me give you an even larger example of that.
But wait, there's more.
Taiwan semiconductor manufacturing. Now, Taiwan basically has a lock.
Oh, yeah.
On producing the semiconductors. They have a lock on it. President Trump somehow managed to talk a company into building semiconductors here in the U.S. He went right to the chief executive, C.C. Wei. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick was there. AI and crypto czar David Sachs. They're all there with the big announcement. And that is, could end up being a $100 billion investment in the United States from this company, Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing. And it'll create 20 to 25,000 jobs.
Well, how many times have we had that conversation? There's a couple of things that need to be built here or made here. One is pharmaceuticals, and still does. The other is semiconductors, because if China gets something crazy going on with Taiwan, we're cut off.
Yes. Absolutely.
So they need to be made here.
That is correct, sir. And who has the courage and the skills to make a deal happen? Donald J. Trump. Under the Biden administration, not so much.
Well, yeah, being a China lover and all, so
there's
that.
Well, in fact, I told you about the fear-mongering. Here's a story about it. Armageddon? Tariff-ageddon? Yeah. President Trump's new round of tariffs set to take effect today. And once again, critics are predicting economic disaster. A sober look at the history of tariffs and recent economic research about their effects suggests this fear-mongering is unwarranted. And it breaks it all down, but one of the things it talks about is a one-time adjustment, not an inflationary spiral. The study highlights 80% of the expected price impact comes from tariffs on Mexico and Canada, not China. That's a key takeaway because it confirms that Trump's policy is aimed at restructuring North American trade, not just confronting Beijing. Trump has long argued that the outsourcing model that shifted U.S. manufacturing to Mexico was unsustainable. So it breaks a lot of that stuff down. Mexico's industrial sector is already contracting at its fastest pace in 5 months, driven by plummeting U.S. demand. Exports to the U.S. are falling at their fastest rate since 2021. Meanwhile, Canada and Mexico are scrambling for last-minute concessions to avoid the tariffs. We'll see if something happens today, possibly. All right. And the inflation narrative does not hold up. Tariffs do not cause continuing upward price momentum. And when they looked at other studies, one from 2021, retail prices remained stable as businesses absorbed cost rather than passing them on to consumers. Yep. So it never even made it to the store shelves in an increase in price for a lot of the tariffed goods and products. So, yep, they're, of course, you know, the critics who don't want to see Trump succeed, they'll come out of the woodwork and they'll come up with anything that makes his plans look less than the stellar, absolutely stellar plans that they are. And just, look, you just, they're not even being instituted until really officially today. And already you've got Honda committed to expanding in Indiana instead of Mexico, where they were going to go. And then you've got the semiconductor deal with Taiwan that is going to be huge by anyone's language, an investment that could wind up being like a $100 billion deal with 25,000 good-paying jobs.
Nice.
As well. Let's go to the Davis-Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. And Donnie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Bob. I heard the New York Post story about $12,000 added to a car. Did they by any chance tell us how much it was going to cost if we decided to buy four electric vehicles? We're talking almost $50,000. This guy is really jacking up the prices on everything on it.
Yeah, they said $4,000 vehicle on average, mm-hmm. but electric vehicles could be three times that. That's where they came up with the $12,000 figure. I'm telling you that historically, and because of inflation partially, and coming out of COVID, all those things, that recipe has driven up new car prices quite a bit. It's going to reach, they're going to diminish what they make if they continue to raise the prices. In mm-hmm. other words, in most cases for Americans, it's a want, not a need.
Sure it is.
And when the price points reach certain levels, people are going to hold on to their cars a little bit longer in many, many cases. And then I'm saying once the demand slows down, supply and demand kicks in, and then they'll be willing to adjust the prices accordingly to increase their business.
What may help out, and it's all going to be about the timing, is something that I'd brought up, a month or so ago, was the fact that Stellantis, because of some EPA rollbacks, we may end up in a good muscle car, muscle engine war again in America because some of the restrictions on building Hemis and high output engines and that stuff's going to go away. They're going to be slashing prices on cars they've not sold for the last couple of years. There are going to be some great deals on vehicles right now, which some of that, and we're talking into the multi-thousands, And then I'm sure that GM and Ford will respond as well at some level. At least you hope they do. So we may see some good prices that will actually counter for the American market buyer some of these tariffs. So we'll see.
We will see, and it'll be very interesting to see what prices do in the near future, and then, of course, continuing through the year.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks so much for your support of the Bob Rose Golf Scramble, Friday, April 4th, presented by Gainesville Harley-Davidson on 97.3 The Sky. The ARC Alachua, the beneficiary, doing great work, developmentally disabled. It's completely sold out, but we could still use some help with volunteers. If you have April 4th open, please contact Mark Johnson at the ARC, 352-246-3516. Coming up next, what's bugging you? Call in. Air it out. Get it off your chest. What's bugging you is brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. Don't be one of those. 877-975-9825. What's bugging you? Next on 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. It's 7:21. Time for What's Bugging You, brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. Don't be one of those, but also don't be shy. Call in now, 877-975-9825. If you don't get through right away, please try back. Good morning, Jen. What's bugging you?
Good morning. Sometimes it's just about the little things. When I have my days off, I always make breakfast for my kids. I like thick bacon. There is always a doubly thick piece, and a piece that is so thin you could read a newspaper through it. I was driving down south of I-4 on the turnpike. There's mile marker 257. Great. And then nearly right above it is a sign that says exit 255, half mile. Well, one of them has to be completely wrong, because it can't be both 257 and 255, because I think, if my math does not fail me, it's 1.5 miles apart. Those little idiosyncrasies drive me nuts. And have a great day, guys.
Welcome to Greg's Twisted World.
I was just thinking, man, I relate.
I've done the math on those things before, and yeah. I mean, I don't let it bother me too much. As long as I can see the exit,
don't worry, right.
I'll be able to accelerate to the point to get ahead of all those trucks in time.
Will. But you're right on the bacon. You're like, how did this happen? It's like, where'd the slicer go wrong?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, oh, I get it.
Let's go to Gunther. What's bugging you?
Yeah, I'd like to just give a couple alternatives away from Tesla. I wish I could do a German accent, but there's a couple really good ones. So you can go with BMW, whose symbol is an airplane propeller for when they were making airplane engines for World War II. Or, of course, you could go with Mercedes, which obviously drove around Crazy Mustache Man. My favorite, though, obviously, is Volkswagen. You could go with them. And make sure that you're wearing your Adidas clothes designed by Adolf Deichel, who had three stripes to represent the Third Reich. That would be a good alternative away. And where has Nostradamus been?
I wonder if that's really true about the three stripes being the Third Reich, because Adidas is a German-based company.
Right.
I wondered about that. I don't know if that's an urban myth or what.
I'll look into that one.
Yeah. Look, by the way, we love all cars. We're car guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And so...
And we don't hate electric cars. We just didn't want them forced down our throat by the Biden administration.
That's all.
They make some cool stuff.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. Let's go to... Pete, good morning. What's bugging you?
Well, I was going to talk about tariffs, but these great calls preceding me have sparked a little thing. I want to change my tone there. When I was in high school, we thought Adidas stood for All Day I Dream About Sex, first of all.
Wow.
It was sports, but go ahead.
And
different school.
the woman that called about the signs, there's just too many signs on the road now. And obviously, somebody's got a brother-in-law in the sign business, because there's sign after sign after sign. They're spaced so close together, and it's obviously somebody's making some money on it. And the more signs they put up, the more they sell. Thank you, Bob.
I feel like signs. It seems like everywhere a sign blocking out the scenery. You know?
Yeah, Sounds familiar for some reason.
It does. Yeah. It really does. Five-man electrical band did the original. 877-975-9825. Call in now. Good morning, Steve. What's bugging you?
Yeah, founding fathers were not Christians. They were deists who believed some creator created it all, then stepped away and couldn't give a darn about being worshipped. Hence, asteroids whizzing through space at Earth. So please, stop with the Jesus nonsense.
Never.
It's your own show, dude.
And I can tell you that George Washington was very devout. I have a book that lists and talks about a lot of his prayer life, his spiritual life. It is very accurate information. That's something that they tried to sell to us. I believe it started maybe in the 30s or 40s. I think might had some commie things to do with communism.
No doubt.
That they didn't want Americans to be really faith and believers. What you're trying to push and promote is old news, and it's not true. Please do further research. Let's go to Mark. Good morning. What's bugging you?
Hey, yeah, that Zong guy, he should have just checked the Native American box like Pocahontas. But what's bugging me is I've always wondered for actually multiple decades now what really actually happens behind the scenes in a joint session of Congress. Is that like where crazy Maisie Hirono, the Florida politician, like she shows up with a Cheech and Chong fatty and stuff like that? I really wonder what's going on behind the scenes.
We could see what was going on behind the scenes when, Nancy Pelosi was Speaker of the House back there trying to tear up the speech. Remember that? But I don't think you're going to see fireworks or theatrics, and it's not officially called a State of the Union address because he hasn't been in office for a full year yet. But we'll get into some of the things that it's believed he is going to cover tonight at 9 o'clock. Good morning, Two Stroke. What's bugging you?
Well, I kind of agree with the previous caller. And, there's like Hindus, there's Muslims, there's Christians. There's Buddhists. Everybody can't be right in the world, okay? Everybody can't be right. There's no possibility for that. Okay? So everybody has their God. Everybody has their prophet. But they all can't be right. Okay? Somebody has to come to some realization that this is madness. Okay?
Why? Why would it be? Why do you mean madness? You're saying everybody's wrong? Or could one group be correct?
Mm-hmm. That's why it's called faith and why everybody has their own.
Yeah.
And people talk about their own, and that's their right.
And, you can look at it where I want a ticket to that, everlasting life, theoretically. But there are many benefits to being a faithful person while you're alive.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean you're perfect. Of course not. 728 on the Bob Rose Show, 805. We're going to talk to former Congressman Ted Yoho right here on 97.3 The Sky. Hey, I don't want to talk about religion all morning, Greg, but is it the baby Jesus that you find inside the king cake that is a regular staple and part of Mardi Gras?
Yeah.
Is that what it's supposed to be, the baby Jesus?
Yeah, you got to find the baby Jesus.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You found it last year, right?
No, it was the first year I worked here.
Oh.
I found the baby Jesus. I found Jesus a long time ago. But the baby Jesus and the cake. Because there used to be a guy that doesn't work here anymore. He's moving out of state, which means he's not here anymore, is the subtle hint. And he took it on as kind of, his name was also Bob. Another Bob, imagine that.
You're a good guy.
He took that on as his thing. He would always bring in the king cake to the radio station.
Yes. So. And we would be the beneficiaries of that and enjoy it very, very much.
Because we were here first,
So, he's been gone a couple of years, and I don't think anybody's...
Picked up that mantle.
Wow. All right. Oh. Is that like a subtle hint, or...?
We're not real subtle on the Bob Rose Show.
Sometimes you have to be direct when you want to get things done. It's sort of, the Trump effect.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, President Trump is set to address a joint session of Congress. Oh, man. It's going to be like Cheech and Chong.
Not exactly. It just means they're together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This will be the first time in a second term. Expected to deliver a speech to outline his plans for the nation under the theme of the renewal of the American dream.
Ooh, I like that.
The renewal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, think about it. That's what has been in peril, the American dream. Mm-hmm. Whatever your version of that is. But for a lot of people, home ownership is a part of that.
Yeah.
Very much getting out of reach and much more difficult for young, for everybody really, to be able to afford a home. And it's not any cheaper to rent necessarily because apparently there's not a huge availability there and prices have gone up on that as well. Will Trump directly address that? I am not sure. But I know that you can't officially call this address a State of the Union. You have to be in office for one full year, but it'll be very similar. The yearly presidential address is intended to showcase the administration's achievements and policies. Well, this will be more saying what's been going on and where we're kind of where we're headed, because he has been working at quite the pace, trying to align the federal government with his Make America Great Again policies. The president took more than 200 executive actions on his first day in office and really hasn't slowed down since. White House officials spoke with Fox News Digital and said the speech themed the renewal of the American dream will feature four main sections: accomplishments from Trump's second term thus far at home and abroad, what the Trump administration has done for the economy, number two, the president's renewed push for Congress to pass additional funding for border security, three, and the president's plans for peace around the globe. So there's your four parts to it. And we'll share a little bit more information with you coming up on the show. Don't forget, at 8:05, former Congressman Ted Yoho is going to join us. Plenty of questions that we want to ask him, including the relationship with Ukraine, etc. But right now, the Davis-Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines in Good Morning Hollywood. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys. Really appreciate what you're doing, and great show today. I was wondering, you know, when you're talking about the affordability of people being able to buy a home, do you think that it's a possibility that Governor DeSantis might do away with property taxes? I mean, you know, Michelle and I were very blessed to be able to cough up, gosh, what did we just write a check for, like $35,000 for property taxes on our rental properties and our home. And I just don't know how people can afford it these days. So anyway, God bless you guys and God bless America.
God bless you, Hollywood. Well, the fact that you have to pay $35,000 shows that you must own some, you know, a good amount of properties that has a value. But as far as the taxes go, the property tax, it's interesting. Marco Rubio brought this up in the Florida House years ago, way before he was even in the Senate. And by the estimations that were done at that time, you could have added 2 cent additional sales tax in Florida and eliminated property taxes at least for sure, you know, your primary residence.
Right.
Now, that would not, I don't think, include commercial properties, but it would be, you know, basically your one home or what you designate as your home base.
Sure.
And you wouldn't have to pay taxes on that. And it looked like it was a done deal. In fact, I read about it in Rubio's book that came out a few years after that. And he had Democrats on board with it because everybody said, this is great. We're such a tourist state that everybody would kind of share in the taxation burden. And there's plenty of people that may not be, you know, paying, but are still benefiting from, you know, all the government things that are, you know, that work based on taxes. So this would kind of spread all of that out. To me, it sounds like a win-win. I was very interested in it, and I used to ask about it from time to time, both from, you know, Rubio and others, if, you know, they gave it much thought. But the Democrats, something happened, and all of a sudden they decided at the last minute that they weren't going to support it. I don't know exactly what the reasons were for it. I know some will try to claim that it overly burdens the poorer people. It doesn't. But I think that's one of the arguments they try to use. So I guess to answer the question is, I heard it come up again recently. It's one thing to bring it up. It's another thing to pass it through the legislation, legislators in Tallahassee. As we've seen with some other issues, you know, like the right to carry a firearm unconcealed, yep. Open carry, as they call it. We've talked to many who say they're for it, but it never really seems to get out of committee mysteriously.
Yeah, funny how that works. Funny, haha. Hey, a quick traffic note, Ocala Sky Listener just checking in. The traffic lights at 484 and 475 apparently are on flash. So be careful through there right now.
Pam Bondi is going to be digging through a truckload of Epstein files. If you remember last week, she said, look, I want this stuff in my office by 8 a.m. Friday. And apparently the FBI has delivered. Yep. Thousands of pages of documents. I have the FBI going through them. Director Patel is going to get us a detailed report as to why the FBI withheld all those documents to begin with. And she said it's a truckload of evidence, and we're going to go through it as fast as we can, go through it, though, cautiously to protect all the victims of Epstein. The attorney general also accused the Biden administration of sitting on the documents. No one did anything with them. Why were they sitting in the Southern District of New York? I want a full report on that. You know, sadly, these people don't believe in transparency, but more unfortunately, I think a lot of them don't believe in honesty. But it's a new day. It's a new administration. Everything is going to come out to the public. The public has the right to know. Americans have a right to know. Highly anticipated rollout of the files drew criticism across the country on Thursday, disappointing those who expected a client list or any significant new information about the disgraced Palm Beach-based sex trafficker. Congresswoman Anna Paulina Luna from here in Florida was one of the many vocal critics of the rollout. I think there was big disappointment. But I think there was disappointment from the AG's office as well, until she found out there was many more documents that were still being held. Now, apparently, she has received those documents. So what's a fair amount of time to give her to go through those documents? 30 days?
It could be time consuming. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, 30 days to at least put out a preliminary report.
Would be nice.
Kind of an overview at the very least. I mean, that sounds reasonable to me.
Depends how big a truck it is.
And how messy the files are.
Yes.
You know, if they actually filed them, there's some system involved that will make a big difference.
Right.
If it's just like somebody who puts their receipts in a big box and sends it to their CPA and says, yeah, man, do my taxes.
Yeah, they know that feeling, yeah.
Yeah. It is 7:45. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and you're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Coming up at 8:05, we're going to talk to Congressman Ted Yoho, former congressman, and we look forward to that. What's going on with Ukraine? Can there be a saving of relationship there with Zelensky, depending on how you look at it? I think a lot of people thought that Trump was the bully there. To me, if you're going into a meeting, literally the last thing you think is, this is going to be a pat on the back, pomp and circumstance, celebratory signing of an agreement that hopefully would lead to the end of bloodshed between Ukraine and Russia. And there was no reason for Trump or Vance to think anything otherwise, because that absolutely was the latest that they knew. It was a done deal. So you could imagine, in front of the public and the cameras, the guy all of a sudden is squirreling out of it like a weasel. And Yeah, that is going to irritate you if you're the person who said, we basically, as close as you get electronically, shook hands on this.
Yeah.
You know, we came to an agreement. And it's interesting that part of Zelensky's reasoning is he doesn't trust Putin. In other words, what would help fulfill the deal and make it, you know, the complete deal is, well, you're never going to be able to trust him.
Right.
And nobody is, you know, hopefully painting him as the good guy in the equation. He's not. But Zelensky has his own issues. So clearly, that what I derive from it, and I said this yesterday, he's not a man of his word. If he had reservations about entering into this agreement, they should have already been addressed. Don't you think the people, you know, in the Trump campaign and not the campaign, but in the administration, don't you think that's one of the things that they do, that they've had experience with, is getting deals done? I mean, we didn't have any of those issues with any of the other prime ministers and or presidents that have come to visit the White House, not in the first term, nor in Trump's second term. You know, yeah, there's a decorum. Everybody knows, you know, for at least generally what is going to be said, certainly what is going to be put on paper where there's going to be signatures. And so we'll see. Now, yes, was Trump in some ways? Was he a little harsh with some of his language? Yeah, perhaps he was, but I don't think anybody can deny that Zelensky was being very disrespectful. And that's the bottom line. Look, you're in this president's home turf in the Oval Office. You're coming asking for things. You've been asking and receiving billions of dollars from hard-earned taxpayer dollars from American citizens. And you treat, you know, the elected president, freely elected president, like that, you're not going to get sympathy from a lot of Americans.
No.
And I'm still scratching my head wondering how did the guy get it so wrong? And the only thing I can think of is he met with, you know, some of the anti-Trumper Democrats right before the meeting. And apparently they did. They tried to talk him out of accepting the mineral deal. And I don't know what their reasoning was behind it. But you know, that's a big black eye, really, for everyone. Of course, they want it to all be reflected on President Trump, but it's not going to be. And they get these strategic things wrong all the time, and good. I hope they continue to. During an interview with Hannity, the VP, J.D. Vance, said, look, the minerals deal would be a long-term investment in Ukrainian sovereignty. It would be the very best security guarantee, way better security guarantee than 20,000 troops from some random country that hasn't fought a war in 30 or 40 years, and stated that the security guarantee, also the economic guarantees for Ukraine, is to rebuild the country and ensure that America has a long-term interest. I mean, on every level, this mineral deal makes sense. Just like the president said, look, yeah, Europe maybe ponied up whatever, $100 billion. But theirs was in the form of a loan, a secured loan. I mean, what a dodo that makes Joe Biden look like. I know it's a bar he set pretty high, but still. And receiving nothing? Of course he was getting something in return. We just don't have the documentation to support that. But
it wasn't paying tax dollars back. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. And he wasn't looking out for the American people. He was looking out for the interest of the Biden family. So we'll see what happens with Zelensky. And it'll be interesting to talk to the former Congressman Ted Yoho, who was up in D.C. and had to play with those people for, what, 8 years?
Well, he has a lot of perspective on a lot of things, looking at the committees he was on over the years and that sort of thing. So, yeah, great perspective of how things work or don't work in our nation's capital.
Tariffs go into effect today, Canada, Mexico, and it'll be interesting to see if those leaders kind of step up and say, hey, what can we do to do away with those tariffs? You know, some are answering like Trudeau is going to raise some prices. He's going to fight back in that way. That's not I don't think going to be beneficial for either nation. But already, just the threat of tariffs has caused Honda to now take a factory they were about to build in Mexico, and now they are going to put it in Indiana. That's going to be thousands of jobs. And also, you've got the semiconductor company out of Taiwan. This could be a $100 billion deal to make and manufacture semiconductors here. So there are some good things coming out of the tariffs already. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky.